Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Joining us now on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, covers the Packers for Green Bay Press Gazette, PackersNews.com. Also here on the Wendy's Big Show, he's our Green and Gold Insider. Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays at 4:48, we talk to Ryan Wood. He joins us now after Packers and Texans week one of the NFL preseason. Ryan, 26 starters sit out. Was that a little bit surprising to you last night?
Nah, I mean, the way preseason is now, you hear everywhere that they don't need four preseason games. Preseason is games 2 and 3. That's your regular season unit. That's where you're going to get a lot of exposure to them. Aaron Rodgers is going to be playing in both. The opener, and then obviously the finale where guys are really fighting to get one of those last roster spots, that's what it's become. So was 26 a lot? Yeah, absolutely 26 was a lot. Were there some surprise names? I mean, I didn't even know that Josh Jones had an injury. He'd been practicing, so did not expect Josh Jones to not be available last night. But by and large, that's just the nature of what a preseason opener is now.
Mm-hmm. What's your take on Rashad Gary? How did he look to you?
I thought it was a mixed bag. Yeah. You know, he had some rookie moments. There was one play specifically where he got sucked inside and completely gave up outside contain on a run play. Almost like he was a little frustrated that he wanted to get in the mix. Well, I didn't think the Texans, you know, ran a lot of plays at him in general. Mm-hmm. But he got some double teams too. I mean, there was one third down where a tight end stayed in just a chip, and then he got the tackle. So, you know, the Texans were aware of him. I don't think there's any question about that. Did it show up in the box sheet? No, it did not. But his presence was felt in some ways. I mean, there's certainly some room to grow there. But for one debut, it was really kind of just a mixed bag.
I'm freely admitting this. I'm jumping all over the place here, and I'm going to go back on offense again. What do you think about the receiving core that they have there? I mean, you've seen these guys at practice every day. I mean, they would have got about 6 or 7 guys. How do you feel about this core that they have?
I think it's pretty. It's got the potential to be pretty good, but it's definitely unproven. I mean,
correct.
After the obvious, Davante Adams, number two is probably Geronimo Allison. He should be a good serviceable number two, and I think he would have been last year. I mean, he was on pace for almost 1,000 yards through 5 games last year, mm-hmm. but then with the groin injury, he ended up on IR. I think he would have had a big breakout year. Now he's got to prove it. He hasn't proven it yet. But he has that potential. After Geronimo Allison, I think Marquez Valdes-Scantling, Equanimeous St. Brown, both had some solid rookie seasons. Now, there's a lot of room for growth there, but it was a decent foundation to start on. Jake Kumerow continues to impress. I mean, he's a guy that Aaron Rodgers loves throwing the ball to him. You saw last night, I mean, he's such a crisp route runner. He's a natural catcher, something that, frankly, Jamon Moore is continuing to struggle with on the other end of the spectrum, just naturally catching the football. And then even, you know, Trevor Davis was having his best camp as a Packer until the injury and live special teams drills, which Matt LaFleur said last night, yeah, Aaron Rodgers is right. We probably shouldn't be doing those, which is kind of obvious, and I don't think you'll ever see that again. So as a whole, there's depth there. There's potential to have a really good unit. But it's unproven potential at this point.
No doubt.
Ryan, out of the backup quarterbacks yesterday, obviously DeShone Kizer gets the start. He looks good, 8 of 13. But Tim Boyle, the offense, and aided by the pass interference, the offense just moves differently when Tim Boyle is behind center, it seems.
Yeah, I mean, I guess. I mean, they obviously, I think it took like 7 plays to score from the 3-yard line.
Right.
To start the second half. But some of those were, you know, Tim Boyle missed a fade in the end zone and then kind of overshot a receiver. But in general, I think for one preseason game, it's pretty much a wash. I thought both of those guys were better than what we had seen in practice, especially Kizer. But even Tim Boyle had been pretty erratic throwing the football. And I mean, I guess you kind of saw that a little bit last night. Tim Boyle had the best throws of the night, but I mean, he missed some throws too. So, you know, for one game, I think it's pretty even. It could have been a lot worse from that position. I mean, that was definitely something to build on. And so that had to be promising. Whether they do that or not will be what's most important.
Talking with Ryan Wood here on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, Green Bay Press Gazette, PackersNews.com, and right here on the Wendy's Big Show, Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays at 4:48. What about the running backs? Obviously, you don't see the two starters in Aaron Jones or Jamal Williams, but Dexter Williams obviously showed out yesterday with 14 carries.
I think so. You know, Dexter Williams is a rookie. He's young. He's making that transition to the league, and like any other position, there's things that running back, as a rookie running back, you've got to be able to adjust to at this level. And Deshaun Kizer actually said something really interesting last night that, you know, and it was interesting because it kind of echoed what Matt LaFleur said earlier in camp. Deshaun Kizer, former teammate of Dexter Williams at Notre Dame, he said, at Notre Dame, at the college level, Dexter Williams could dance in the backfield. He could be patient in the backfield. And with this wide zone running scheme, it's predicated from a running back perspective on getting to your landmarks as quick as possible. You can't dance in the backfield anymore. Mm-hmm. So I think from a talent standpoint, I mean, Dexter Williams is his one cut and slashing style. Once he gets to the hole, I think there's bursts through the hole. I think you saw that last night. If he can just kind of nullify that one piece of his game that persists from college and get to the landmarks quicker, his burst of the hole is going to be something that I think is an ideal fit in this offense. So it's just a matter, like any other rookie.
Guy has great closing speed. I mean, I don't know if they thought he'd be this good this early, but, I mean, he's just a football player.
Yeah, Gary, we saw each other in the press box last night and both kind of got some big eyes right. After, I think, that first series. Like,
right.
Whoa, I don't think we expected that. And, you know, what was interesting is after the game, Ty Summers said, you know, 10 tackles is great, but he's thinking about the four that he didn't have. Good. You know, after the crowd kind of dispersed, I asked him, what plays are going inside your head? And he literally listed off the four missed tackles, detail by detail, play by play, that he didn't get. And he was right. I mean, there were some missed opportunities out there, but 10 tackles for a guy who is still relatively new to the Mike position. You know, he ran a 4.51 at the combine, so he can move. There's no question that he's got speed. I was impressed by the play speed. For a rookie to be able to play as fast as he did was surprising. So, you know, I mean, it was a really good way to get yourself on the radar as a seventh-round pick. And if that continues, you'll be on the 53.
Well, and obviously availability is accountability. And Oren Burks, once again, struggles with a little bit of that. Obviously, he wasn't going to play as much as Ty Summers, but Summers got a lot of run because of it.
Yeah, that was in large part determined before the game, even without the shoulder injury. Ty Summers said that the coaches told him to be ready to be gassed by the end. I mean, they were going to play a ton, and they did.
I like
And, you know, for a seventh-round pick, that's like candy to your ear. I mean, that's, yes. Oh, okay, I'll play the whole game. Give me all the film I can get. So, right. You know, it was good on both sides. Oren Burks, I mean, that might be the most relevant thing that happened last night if you look at, you know, regular season impact. I mean, other than maybe the backup quarterbacks, if there's an injury at some point to Aaron Rodgers. Oren Burks, I mean, he missed some time with that shoulder, that left shoulder, last year. I think it limited what he was able to do in his rookie season. And this is the pivotal training camp for a young NFL player. You've got to be able to get as much out of that second training camp as you can. So, he had a really good start to camp, and he positioned himself to be a part of this defense. I think the Packers were pretty pleased with what they'd seen. He was a young guy that really needed that the game setting to do it in a game and do it at game speed. So you understand why he was one of the very few starters to play. It's just now that shoulder injury is a problem again, and we'll see how long it takes him to get back on the field.
Did you really know that Lane Taylor was in a battle for a starting position
before last night? I did not. And I mean, Elton Jenkins was a second-round pick, and as a guard, second-rounder, you don't draft a guard in the second round to sit him very long. I mean, that's the nature. If you want a guy that you can develop and be on the sideline for a while, you wait till the fourth or fifth round. So I guess I get that point of it. It's just I think Elton Jenkins, he's got everything it takes to be a good NFL player, but he's really early in this transition. And, I mean, I think he's been swimming a little bit early in camp, not to be unexpected, because especially for a big guy in the trenches, that tends to happen. Lane Taylor, he struggled last year. The year before, 2017, Lane Taylor was quite good. Last year, he missed basically the entire offseason with an ankle injury that persisted half the year. Remember talking to him this spring. Yeah, he didn't feel right until the second half of last year. I mean, it looked that way. His range of motion wasn't the same. He wasn't the same player in 2018 that he was in 2017, and yet I don't see right now a guard that's going to beat Lane Taylor for a starting job week one on this roster. I mean, I was surprised to hear that there was a competition, and I mean, give Matt LaFleur credit. He's not taking anything lightly.
I know Kadar Holman has shown up in practice a couple of times, a sixth round pick, but obviously the interception yesterday opens a lot of eyes. Just how significant of a player could he be on the team this year?
That's a good question. I mean, he's definitely going to be behind, he's going to be at the bottom of the depth chart. Now, he's going to be on the depth chart and make the 53, but he's going to be at the bottom of that. But what we've seen is a ton of injuries, especially at the cornerback position in the past couple of years. So there's a good chance he's going to be playing at some point. And it looked like an easy play. I mean, it was a terrible pass by Joe Webb. But that type of play, the ability to track a ball deep down the field, is precisely the biggest perceived weakness in Kadar Holman's game coming into the NFL. The ball skills, the ability to undercut a receiver, track a ball, and come away with the football, to show that was good for him to put on film. I mean, that was certainly a good play for him, as easy as it might have looked given the poor throw. The Packers seem to like him. I mean, he's gotten a lot of second-team reps, which puts you on the 53, and you know, he did well for himself last night.
What have you seen out of Jace Sternberger so far before, all the concussion? Has he been popping it all, shining it all in practice?
He had one really good play. It was literally like four or five reps before the Lonnie Johnson Jr. Issue. And that to me was the biggest probably frustration that they would have had with that. Not just that it was dirty, but that, I mean, Jace Sternberger had just started to maybe flash a little bit, and then he gets taken out of camp by a completely idiotic play. So, tight end is especially, it's hard to find rookie tight ends to come in right away and have impacts. There's so much on that position's plate from a run game and pass game standpoint. I think that's a reason why we've seen Robert Tonyan make such the leap that he's had in his second year now, compared to his first year. Because the first year, you're trying to stay above water as a tight end in this league. So I think that's where Jace Sternberger is. He's hasn't shown that he's going to be a guy that buck that trend and to be an early contributor on offense as a tight end. But long term, you can see the potential, and certainly they're going to give him every opportunity.
What was your reaction to Matt LaFleur talking with Ryan Wood here on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline? Sorry, Wendy's Big Show. Ryan, what was your reaction to Matt LaFleur's answer to the question about Aaron Rodgers' somewhat displeasure with the joint practices?
I thought he pushed back a little bit. And that's not nothing, because, I mean, let's face it, like, Mike McCarthy never pushed back, at least not like that.
Right.
He had plenty of opportunities, and Mike McCarthy would just never, ever assert that from the podium. So, And here's the other thing, too. In doing so, Matt LaFleur also was accurate. He's not wrong. Yeah, Aaron Rodgers doesn't need the preseason. Let's just be honest here. If it's just Aaron Rodgers getting ready for the regular season, he's one of the very few, maybe you put Bulaga and Bakhtiari there too, that can do that all by themselves. You know, the problem is there's 10 other guys on the field, as Matt LaFleur said. And those guys, I mean,
that makes sense to me.
You can put that in that elite group too. But most of those guys, they do need the preseason. They need to get ready. They don't need four games in the preseason, which is why you saw 26 guys sit last night.
Mm-hmm.
But they need the second and third week. They need some camp. They need to get, you know, back into football shape. And those joint practices, those are designed for those guys. They're not designed for Aaron Rodgers. I did think, like I said earlier, Matt LaFleur saying that the live special teams drills were probably not the best idea. He did agree with Aaron Rodgers there, so I thought he was pretty fair in his assessment. Which, by the way, Matt LaFleur has been pretty fair. He's been awfully talkative and honest in his assessments with the media since getting hired. I mean, that's jumped out at me. But yeah, I think that he was the same way with that answer.
Matt, I know you're worried on like camp battles and right and left foot, good footwork, catching the ball, but the biggest story right now in the NFL is the Antonio Brown situation that's going on in Oakland about his helmet, saying that he's not going to play unless they allow him to use the helmet that he's worn for the last 9 years. It's the same model that Aaron Rodgers uses, so I'm just asking if you've noticed, is he wearing a different helmet in practice?
I haven't noticed, no. I mean, that's probably worth asking him, but I don't think he has been asked yet. No, I have not noticed.
Because Antonio Brown says he's going to retire if they don't allow him to use the helmet that he's worn his last 9 years.
I don't know if Aaron Rodgers feels that strongly about his helmet or not. I mean, these guys, there's so many different kinds of helmets. It's unreal.
Right.
And there's a comfortability that exists now with helmets, with all the knowledge out there about concussions. Guys like their helmets. Now, I don't know if Aaron Rodgers would, be willing to retire if he couldn't wear his helmet. But
we're just asking,
man. Each their own.
Yeah, right. Well, Antonio Brown, too. Talk about to each his own. That's a totally different each. That's for sure. Ryan, we'll talk next on Monday, all right?
Thank you, buddy.
All right, have a good weekend.
Yep, that's Ryan Wood on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, Green Bay Press Gazette, PackersNews.com, joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019. Looking no further, call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local, common-sense lending to your community since 1935.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.